Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Sammech.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Nisim and Elias Bassan in memory of their dear mother, Sarah Bat Malka. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Arnu Nishmat Acham Baruch, Rafael Ben Miriam, and Abraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tanichem, began Eden. We are starting on Nun Tet Amud Sheni, and we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines, 7 lines from the bottom. Velo betaba'at she'en alea chotam. The Mishnah said that on Shabbat, a lady is forbidden to go out with a ring she'en alea chotam. That does not have a signet on it. Let's review how the rings used to look in the olden days. The ring was a regular round ring, and in the center of it, sometimes they would have what's called the chotam. It's the signet, they call it in English. And what it was used for was to sign documents or endorse documents or to seal documents. So the Mishnah said that if you have a ring that doesn't have a chotam on it, the assumption is it's a piece of jewelry, it's a takshit, and therefore we don't want the ladies to go out with it on Shabbat. Why? The concern is they might take it off, show it to their friend, end up walking for amot in the Rishut Rabim. So the Gemara is going to make an implication. You're telling me what? That the only type of ring that is asur to go out with rabbinically because of this gezerah is one that does not have the signet. However, the Gemara makes a diyuk and says, "Ha yesh alei chotam." But let's say the ring has a signet on it, hayevet. Then it's mashma, she's going to be hayab. That's going to be considered a burden carrying, and you're going to be hayab midoraita. I understand you could make the diyuk the other way. You could say, "Yeah, the only time it's a sumad rabbanan is when it doesn't have a signet. But if it has a chotam, it'll be mutar." So right away, Tosfot takes care of that issue and says, the Gemara is really not relying on this diyuk. It's really relying on later on. The next Mishnah clearly says that if you go out with a ring that has a chotam on it, chayev et chatat. So the Gemara has a question. Alma lav tachshitu. Implying that when you wear a ring that has a signet on it, it's not jewelry. And since it's not jewelry, it's considered she's carrying it. That's why it's going to be chayav hatat. Whereas without a chotam on it, it's a piece of jewelry. So what's the old reason why you can't wear it on Shabbat? Because you might take it off, show it, carry for amot. But if it has a chotam on it, specifically it's not the derech of a lady to go out with a signet ring. So therefore it's not supposed to be considered carrying. So the Gemara says, what do you mean we have a contradiction? Takshite nashim teme'im. This is a braita in the laws of not Shabbat, but in the laws of tum'ah, things that are susceptible to receive tum'ah. So it says takshitei nashim teme'im. The eloen takshitei nashim. The following items are considered takshitei nashim, meaning jewelry of a lady, and are going to be susceptible to the laws of tum'ah. And what are they? Katlaot. Katlaot, we learned, those were the chokers that the ladies used to wear. Nezamim. The Zamim Rashi says in this case is the earrings, the tabaot, rings, the tabaat, ben sheyesh alea chotam, ben she'en alea chotam. Rings, whether it has the signet or whether it does not have the signet, it's considered what? A takshit. It's considered a piece of jewelry. Vinizme ha'af. And also nose rings. There's the question. Bottom line, we're seeing over here that even a ring that has a chotam on it is called a takshit. If it's called a takshit, so why should the lady that wears it on Shabbat be hayevet hatat? It should be the same gezerah. She might take it off, show it. Why are you telling me that the implication of the Mishnah is that if it had a chotam, oh, that's hayevet hatat carrying. Why should we carrying it? It's considered a takshit. We have a beferus braita that says a ring with a chotam on it is indeed a takshit. So the Gemara says, Amar Bizera, first answer to this question. We're actually going to have three answers to the question. The first answer is Bizera. La Kashya. No question. Ha Rabbi Nehamya, Ha Rabbanan. the Mishnah that says, or that implies, that what the Chotam is considered carrying, that's the Shita of Rabbi Nehemiah. The Braita that calls it a Takshit, that's Rabbanan. Where is the Mahlokah of Rabbi Nehemiah and Rabbanan? So Gemara goes to explain it. The Tanya, because we have a Braita. I'll give you the basis of the Braita outside, and then we'll read it inside. The basis of the Mahlokah of Rabbi Nehemiah and Hakamim is going to be, when you have a ring with, let's say, a signet in it, you know, that chotam in the center of it, what is the ikar, what is the primary part of the ring? Is it the ring per se, or is it the chotam? How do you define the primary status of the ring? What does it go after? Does it go after the ring portion of it, or does it go with the setting that's inside of it? Rav Nehemiah is going to say a chiddush. He's going to say it goes after the setting. It goes after the chotam. That's the definition of a ring. Whereas the rabbis are going to say, no, it goes after the ring per se. Now, what's a nafkamina? What do I care if you go after the setting or if you go after the ring? So there'll be big nafkamina. Look at the baraita. The baraita tells you one. Netanya, he shall matechet. Let's say the ring. No, the ring. He shall matechet. The ring itself is metal. The chotama shel almog, and the signet is almog. Almog is wood. Teme'ah. So then the ring will be subject to tum'ah. Why? Because we have a rule by tum'ah. Let's get the rules. A ring that's made out of metal has a din of pishute keli matechet. Pishute keli matechet means just a regular piece of metal. Even though it doesn't have, let's say, a receptacle to it, it's not like a cup, it's just a regular round ring. Metal like that can receive tum'ah. Whereas wood, a regular piece of wood, unless it has a receptacle to it, cannot receive tum'ah. So let's analyze now. You have a metal ring with a wooden signet. According to Hakamim, you go after the ring. Since the ring is metal, the whole thing is subject to tum'ah. Hishel almog, the opposite. If the ring is made out of wood, the chotama shel matechet, and the signet is made out of metal, what's going to be the din according to Hakamim? Again, you always go after the ring. Tehora. Why? Because the ring is considered peshute keli etz. It's considered a regular just piece of wood, and therefore tehor. That's the rabbi's rule. Rav Nehemiah metameh. Rav Nehemiah says in that case, where the signet is metal, tameh. Why? Shayar ibn Hamya Omer betaba'at halach achar chotama. Ibn Hamya reshita. When it comes to rings, what defines the ring? The chotam. And therefore, it's the exact opposite of what the rabbi said, which is when the signet is metal, the ring is mekabel tumah. When the signet is wood, even though the ring is metal, the ring is not mekabel tumah, because you go after the signet. So now let's analyze. What does this got to do with us? If you're going after the signet, is the ikar, now we understand why the Mishnah will say that a lady cannot go out with a ring that has a signet on it, and it's considered hayavet hatat. You know why? Because since the signet is the main thing, according to Rav Nehemiah, and it's not the normal derech of ladies to wear signet rings, because it's not for them to endorse documents and seal documents. That's usually done by men. And therefore, since the signet is the main thing, so therefore, to her, there's no purpose for a signet. And therefore, it's going to be considered a burden, and therefore it's going to be considered carrying based on Rav Nehemiah. Whereas according to the rabbis, no, even if it has a signet, signet's not the main thing, the ring is the main thing. So according to them, even a regular ring with a signet would be really not a sur min haTorah, because it's a ring, bottom line. It's a piece of jewelry. And that's what the Braita said, Takshite Nashim. What's considered Takshite Nashim? A ring, whether it has a signet, whether it doesn't have a signet. That's going according to Shita of the Hachamim, that go after the ring portion. If you go after the ring portion of it, I don't care if it has a signet in it. Bottom line, it's a Takshit, because you go after the ring. So therefore, Rabbi Zira's first answer to this question is that yes, there is a shita that will say
that the ring is a tachshit, even though it has a chotam on it. Who's that? The rabbis. There is a shita that will say that it's considered a burden and carrying if a lady wears it, if it has a chotam on. Who is that? Rabbi Nechamya. Why? Because he goes after the chotam. And again, since it's not the derech for ladies to wear a chotam, and that's the ikar of the ring according to Rabbi Nechamya, why is it not the derech for them to wear it? Because they don't endorse documents and sign documents, so therefore it would be considered carrying for them. It was hayevet chatat. Where is the hakam? He will say, no. He will say, I don't care if there's a chotam on it. The ikar is the ring. The ring is the item. And therefore, bottom line, it's a ring. Therefore, it will be subject to the same gezerah that she can't wear it. Not minat Torah. She can't wear it because she might take it off and show the ring, etc. The Rabbanan. Rabbi Gemaran says, now, Rabbi Nechamya not only says on rings that you go after the signet, but he has different opinions on a lot of other items as well. So the Gemara tells us that. The Gemara says, Be'ol halach achar sablonav. What is an ol? Ol is a yoke. I think if you look in your art scrolls, you'll probably have a picture of the yoke that we're talking about. Basically, it's like a square made out of slats of wood. And the center of it is obviously open, it's a hole. And they would stick this item through the head of an animal. It's a yoke. It keeps the animal's head down. Again, this was a standard yoke that she tells us, the way they used to do it in the olden days. Just to make a square box, so to speak, and they stick the animal's head through it. Now, how do they keep the four pieces of wood together to make the square? So they put pegs. They attach them with pegs on four sides. So the Nechamya Shita is, when it comes to a ol, this yoke apparatus, you go after samlonav, the pegs. Meaning if the pegs are metal, then the keli is mekabel tum'ah. If the pegs are wood, then it's not mekabel tum'ah. That's the shita. Just like we go on a ring after the chotam, so too when it comes to these items, it's the pegs of the ikar. Bekolav, what's a kolav? So kolav, that she says, that's like a board that they would place in front of the stores, and they would put pegs in the board, and the people that were selling their merchandise would place their merchandise on these pegs. I have a guy selling belts or something like that. So you have these pegs on the board. It's a merchandise board. And we put it in front of his store and place the goods on it. So it says, Bekola, that's the merchandise board. Halach ahar masmerotav. You go after the nails. If they're metal nails, the thing is mekabel tum'ah. If it's not, if it's pegs, wooden pegs, not mekabel tum'ah. Besulam. Sulam is a ladder. Halach ahar shlibotav. You go after the rungs. If the rungs are metal, the ladder is mekabel tumah. If the rungs are wood, it's not mekabel tumah. The arsa. Arsa is a scale. You probably have a picture of the scale as well. Halach achar shalshelotav. You go after the chains. Now we're talking about the old time scales where you had You have a horizontal piece on top. Okay, that's going across, and you have a vertical piece attached to it going down like a T. On the two sides of this horizontal piece, you have chains that are coming down, and connected to the chains are cups. Like, you know, that's where you actually do the weighing on. Like the old time scales where you place the weight down on one and the other side goes up, like those type of scales. So he holds that when it comes to a scale, what is the defining item that's going to make it tumah or not? He says the chains. The chains that are holding the two cups on the both sides, if the chains are made out of metal, the scale is mekabel tumah. If the chains are made out of wood, let's say, wooden link, therefore it'll be taor. The hachamim omrim, but the rabbis say no. Hakol olech achar hama'amid. Everything goes after the ma'amid, the one that is holding it up, meaning the base. Meaning that she gives you all the answers. Guf hatabat ma'amid ha'chotam. What holds the chotam in place?
the ring. Mm-hmm. So the ring is called the ma'amid. And therefore you go after the ring according to the Hakamim. Va'ol ma'amid et samlonav. Now she tells us that it's the, by the yoke case, yes, you're putting the peg into the holes, but what's holding the peg? The actual pieces of wood of the yoke are holding the peg. So therefore you go after the yoke, you go after the wood. If it's wood, then it's mekametama. If it's metal yoke, it'll be, I'm sorry, metal will be mekametama. Wood, no. The kolav, we said, is the merchandise board. Vakolav et masmerotav, which means the board itself is holding the pegs. So if you go after the board, if it's metal, mekabel tuma. If it's not, it won't be mekabel tuma. Vasulam et shlibotav. What's holding the rungs of the ladder? The sides of the ladder. Therefore, you go after the sides of the ladder. And then when it comes to the scale, ba'arsa, and the scale, according to Hakamim, what's holding up everything? That horizontal bar on top, that's holding the chains that are sticking down from it, and the cuffs that are underneath it. Therefore, you'll go after the horizontal. So that's Hakamim Shita. Comes the Gemara and says, Rava Amar, new answer. Let's review the question. The question was what? You told me in the Mishnah, you made an implication that if a ring has a chotam on it, and the lady goes out on Shabbat, she's going to be hayevet chatat. But we have a braita that says that it's a takshit, that's considered a piece of jewelry. How do you reconcile? So Rava is going to give an answer. Rava amal litzdadim keta. That braita, you didn't read it the right way. It's litzdadim. It could be read to two different sides. What does that mean, two different sides? Yeah, read it like this. Yes, alea chotam. Yes, if it has a chotam on it, takshit de'ish. It is a takshit. Yes, the Braita said, it's a takshit. But takshit to who? Amen. Takshit for a man. And alea chotam, takshit de'isha. And without a chotam, it's a takshit de'isha, which means, you're right, when it said, these are takshitim, yeah, we're not arguing, it is a takshit. But you thought that all these things were takshite nashim? No. Certain things in that braita were takshite nashim, and certain things in the braita were takshite anashim. And therefore what? A signet ring with the chotam on it, if a man would wear it, it's a takshit. And therefore, we have to see if we'd have the whole subject, will he take it off or not? Maybe by men we don't say that subject. Maybe men are not like ladies that take off their jewelry and show it. Therefore, could be for the men it'll be permissible. But bottom line, no contradiction. Yes, a ring with a chotam on it is indeed a takshit. But for who? For a man. Our Mishnah was talking about a lady. And therefore it said, only when there's no chotam, it's asur midrabanan. But if there will be a chotam, it'll be asur midoraita. Why? Because a lady does not go out with a chotam, because it's not a takshifa. So therefore, this could even be going according to the rabbis. You don't have to say like Rabbi Zera that said our Mishnah is only going like Rabbi Nehemiah. You could say that our Mishnah is going like Kula Amma, it's going like everybody. Even the rabbis will agree that there's a difference between a man and a lady. Man it is a takshit, lady it isn't a takshit. For no stira from the Mishnah to the Braita. Third answer. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak Amar. Rav Yitzhak bar Nachman, he uproots the question from the base of it. He says, Tum'ah Ashabbat Karamit? What, are you asking a question from the laws of Tum'ah to the laws of Shabbat? Because that Braita that said that a ring that has a chotam on it is a takshit, that was the Anyan Tum'ah. So he says, what are you talking? You're bringing me a question from the laws of Shabbat to the laws of Tum'ah? Tum'ah kli ma'ase amar rahmana. By Tum'ah, what makes a vessel susceptible to Tum'ah? Kli ma'ase. It has to be a functional vessel that was fashioned. Finished. So therefore, I don't care if it's a ring without a chotam, a ring with a chotam. By the way, is it a keli? So the yan Tum'ah, it's going to be tameh, which means it's going to be susceptible.
V'chliyu. Yeah, kli ma'aseh amar Rabchana. V'chliyu. Shabbat mishum masuya amar Rachmana. Shabbat, the issue is what? Is it a burden or not? En alei achotam, without a chotam on it, takshit. Yesh alei achotam masui. With the chotam on it, it's going to be considered a burden, which means that braita that you brought a question from. What did it say in that braita? Elu hem takshitei nashim. The following items are takshitei nashim. And one of the items that it said takshitei nashim was a ring that has a chotam. So the Gemara says, what are you asking from Tum'ah? Yeah, but bottom line, it said that it's a takshit. Which means, I don't care, you're asking from Tum'ah. You can't get around the fact that the braita calls it a takshit. So Rashi answers that. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. We want the Bura Matkil Rava Amar. Braita diktani v'taba'ata v'takshit. Ben shiyesh aliyah hotam, ben shanel hotam. Lav arisha da'iri b'takshite nashim ka'ime tarvayu el ahad takshite ish v'had takshite isha v'nistadik etani. Okay, that's the answer of Baba. Answer of Rav Nachman, next Rashi. Tum'ah Shabbat karamit. You bring in a question from Tum'ah to Shabbat. Ha diktani v'taba'at ben shiyesh aleha lav arisha ka'i dekari le'takshit. That statement of the ring is not going back on what the Braita said, it's a takshit. Nashim elachi kavad v'tabat shanu shenitmet. The tabat that we said it's susceptible to tumah, ben sheyesh aleha chotam de lav takshit. Who? Miyukli maaseu. Which means it's like with Stadim again. When the Braita said the ring that has a chotam is susceptible to tumah, it's because it's a kli maaseh, because it's a fashion vessel, not because it's a takshit. But it says elu takshit nashim. Yeah, that was going on a ring that does not have a chotam in it. So therefore, when you read that statement in the Braita, that these are takshitei nashim, that word takshitei nashim is not going on everything that follows. It's going on most of the things that follows. For example, the katala. It's going on the earrings. But it's not going on the ring that has a chotam. That's not a takshit. Oh, but it's mekabel tumah. Why? Because bottom line, for tumah, all you got to go after is a vessel or not. So therefore, I can answer you like this. This is Rav Nachman's answer. Really, the Gabe Shabbat, it's not the issue, is it a vessel or not? That's not the issue on Shabbat. On Shabbat, the discussion is it a burden or not? So the issue is like this. If it has a regular ring, it's a takshit, no question about it. It should be permissible to go out with it on Shabbat. If it was not for the Gezerah, that you might come to carry. If it has a chotam on it, well, a chotam on it, so it's a burden. Why? Because it's not the derech to go out on, with a thing that has a chotam on it. For tumah it'll be tameh. Not because it's takshid either. Because it's kli ma'aseh. So well, don't bring me questions from the braita of tumah to the braita of the mishnah. Let's review the three answers. Again, there are three answers. Rabbi Zera, Rabbah, and Rab Nachman. Rabbi Zera's answer was our mishnah's following shitat ibn Hamya. Whereas the Hamya goes after the chotam. He goes after the signet. And therefore, since the signet is ikar, when you have a ring with a signet, and since it's not the derech for a lady to wear a signet ring, and the signet is the main item, it's considered hayav hatat. Whereas the rabbis will say, no.
It's a ring.
It's a ring. You go after the ring. And therefore, it's not going to be hayav hatat. It's a takshit, just like everything else. Therefore, patura malasud. That's Rabbi Zera. Rabbi comes along and says, nah. You don't have to make our Mishnah only like Rabbi Nechamia. It can be going according to everybody. Our Mishnah was talking about a lady. When it comes to a lady does not wear a signet ring. Therefore, it's not considered a takshit. The Braita that said it is a takshit, that's referring to a man. For a man, a ring with a chotam is a takshit. Finish. We can separate between men and ladies. Rabba's answer, Rabbi Nachman's answer, don't even ask me a question from the Braita of Tum'ah. You can't ask me from Tum'ah to Shabbat, which is the Gabesh Shabbat, I analyze it. Is it a burden or not a burden? Well, if it's a regular ring, it's not a burden, it's a takshit. If it has a chotam in it, it's a burden. It's not the derech for, let's say, ladies to wear such an item. The Gabesh Tum'ah, I don't care if it's not a takshit. It doesn't have to be a takshit to mekabel tumah. Legabel tumah, it's just got to be a keli. Is it a keli? Is it a klimas? Is it a fashion vessel? Yes. But the Braita said it's a takshit. No. you learned the Braita wrong. When it said tachshit, it meant some of these items in the Braita are tachshitim, like a regular ring, and that's why it's going to be mekabel tumah. And some of the items in the Braita are just tameh because they're kli maaseh. That's a ring with a chotam. So don't learn that those words tachshitim isn't going on everything. It's going on whatever is makes sense that it's going on, and whatever it's not like a ring with a chotam. It's not. So those are the three answers.
Comes the Gemara further. Gemara says, "Ve'lo b'machat she'en ha'nekuba." A lady is not allowed to go on out on Shabbat with a machat, a pin that does not have an eye to it or a hole in it. So the Gemara asks, "Lemay hazia?" What is this for? Why would she wear a pin like that? That she says the tachshit, which means you're telling me that obviously this is an adornment. This is some type of tachshit. And that's why you're telling me you're not hayav hatat, really. It's not a burden. It's like a gezerah that she might take it out, show it. How do you wear this pin here, the Gemara wants to know? What's the function of such a pin? Lemai hazia. Amar of Yosef, o'il v'isha o'geret ba sa'ara. The ladies used to do is, after they would wear their hat, some curls of their hair, let's say, would stick out of the hat. So they wanted to tuck the hair in. So what would they do? They would take a needle, without an eye to it. They would wrap around, let's say, the hair, around the needle, and then they would stick it in. They would stick it in under the hat. So that's the way they would wear such a thing. And to that item, the Mishnah is saying, she can't wear it on Shabbat. Why? Because she might take it out to show it. Now that doesn't make sense. We always know that the lady doesn't do anything that's going to reveal her hair. So the Gemara, that's the next question. The Gemara says, Amar le Abaye. Abaye says, if that's the way you're defining this needle, that's really a hairpin, v'teve kibirit teora v'tishteri. It shouldn't be worse than a birit. What is a birit? Birit was a certain type of brace that the ladies would wear to hold up their socks. Which means it seems their socks weren't fitted. So in order that the socks don't fall down, they would like put a clip on the sock itself. And that's called the birit. And later on, the Gemara is going to tell us it's permissible for a lady to go out on Shabbat with the birit. Why? Even though it's not a piece of jewelry, but bottom line, it serves the sock, and therefore it's considered part of the sock. And there's no concern that she's going to take off the birit. Why? Because her sock's going to fall down, and it's not going to be siddiut. So for the same reason that we let the lady go out with a birit, we should let the lady go out with this pin. It might not be a piece of jewelry. The bottom line, it's serving a function for her hair. And what? There's no concern she's going to take it out because her hair is going to be revealed. It's not siniut. Therefore, it should be permissible. So why would the Mishnah say it's asur? So the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says, it's a different item. Ela targemar av adan narsha'a kamed rab Yosef, ho'il v'isha choleket basara. What the ladies would use this pin for was to part their hair. Seems they wanted to keep their hair, let's say, parted. So how did they separate it? They would take this needle and they would, you know, insert it somehow to keep their hair parted after they would comb it. That's the way they would use it during the week. So the Gemara says, "V'Shabbat lemay hazia." So she understands this question. On Shabbat, what are they doing parting their hair? That she understands that, well, you don't comb your hair on Shabbat. So therefore, what's the she'ela wearing this item on Shabbat? I mean, who parts the hair on Shabbat? You know, that's part of the combing process. So again, we're still trying to figure out who's wearing this item on Shabbat. Now you turned it into a parting of the hair item. On Shabbat, who wears that item? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rabba, tas shel zahav yesh la al rosha. The needle has a point on one side, like a regular needle. On the other side, however, there's a wide metal, let's say, golden piece. So therefore, it's just not a regular...
Sure.
It's a piece of jewelry. So it depends how you use it. During the week, they use the pin side of it in order to separate the hair. On Shabbat, where they don't want to separate the hair, they insert it, you know, under their hat, let's say, where the flat metal piece now is resting on their forehead, in order to be a piece of jewelry. And therefore, it's a dual function item. It could serve as a hair parter, or it could serve as a tachshit. On Shabbat,
they're not going to use it to part the hair, but they'll use it as a tashit. So what's the gezerah? They might take it off and show it. So when you learn the Mishnah that says she cannot go out with a mahat, you have to keep in your mind, it's a mahat that has a point on one side, that has a, you know, jewelry on the other side, a wide, you know, emblem, let's say, and she would wear it in a certain way where the emblem would rest on her forehead, and the gizra would be, she might take it off, because her hair is not going to be revealed in such a case. Let's just read that inside. It has a piece of metal, gold metal, on the head of it, on the head of the needle. Behold, cholikat basara. During the week, she uses this needle what to part her hair. Beshabbat, manihata, kenegat padahata. On Shabbat, she places it by her forehead. Therefore, gezerah that she might take it off. Okay, now we go to the new Mishnah. Lo yitzea ish besandal hamsumar. A man on Shabbat is not allowed to go out with a sandal hamsumar that has nails in it. We will see exactly what type of sandal this is. Basically, a sandal is a flat piece, and they have a leather upper, and they would nail the leather upper into the sole of the shoe. And sometimes when they nail it in, the nails come out from the bottom of the shoe.
Spikes.
So it's like a, it's like spikes, really. But it's really not spikes, it's really nails that are coming out, but it's like that. And that's called sandal hamsumar. A sandal that is misumar, that has nails on it. Now, why can't you wear such a thing? We'll see the Gemara. Velo biyahid. Nor the Mishnah says, are you allowed to go out with one shoe on Shabbat? Meaning you're wearing one shoe and one foot is bare. We'll see why. Bizman she'en beraglo makah. In a case where, let's say, you're healthy, 2 feet are fine, then you cannot wear one shoe. But if you have, let's say, a wound on one of your feet, then it's okay. Now, what's the logic of this halakha? So that she says two reasons. Number one, if you don't have a makkah on your other foot, let's say, or one of your feet, and you're wearing one shoe, what are people going to say? Oh, he's probably carrying his other shoe under his arm. And therefore it's a maritayin. Other opinions explain that if a guy sees wearing one shoe, they might start making fun of him. They might say, look at this guy over here wearing one shoe under the shoe tarabim. So what might he do? He might take off the one shoe and carry it. Now at least he has no shoes. Okay, that's more normal to have no shoes than to walk around with one shoe. So therefore, gizera that he might himself come to carry. But we'll see all this in the Gemara. Velo betfilin. Okay, a person is not allowed to wear tefillin out under the shoe tarabim on Shabbat. Velo betkamiya. Nor can he wear an amulet. Bizman she'eno min amumcheh. As long as it's not established, we learned certain kimiot had were made by experts and they definitely worked. What do you mean they worked? They cured the person from his sickness. Certain kimiot was still not yet proven. So therefore the Mishnah says, if it's not a proven kamiya, you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbat. Velo b'shiryon, velo b'kasta, velo b'magafayim. Basically all these items, the Gemara is going to interpret them, they're all armory that soldiers usually wear in the war. Shiryon, Kazda, and Magafayim. We'll wait till the Gemara to give us the exact definition of them. But you can't wear them on Shabbat. Now the question is why? It's clothes. So the Mefarshim explain, because the only time you really wear these garments is during war. And therefore it looks like a weekday item. It's the Ma'asehol, to wear, you know, armory on Shabbat. Others explain that it's a Maritayin. People are going to think you're going out to war or something. You're fighting a war. So therefore, you cannot wear the armor, even though technically it is a beged. The Mishnah concludes, V'im yatsa eno hayav chatat. But if you went out with these items, you're not going to be a hayav chatat. So these items, yes, all these items. Wearing these items. She says, actually, I'm sorry, if we read that she says it's going on this last case of the armory. V'chulehu min melbushim dinu. All this army really is clothing. It's just for a weekday for the war. So therefore you cannot see Chayav Hatan if he goes out with it. It's a Gezerah D'Rabbanan. Either, like I told you, because it looks like a weekday thing, or Gezerah D'Rabbanan, looks like you might be going to war. Now we start the Gemara. These are items that all the common denominator of this Mishnah, things that men cannot wear in the Rishut Rabbim. They cannot wear the shoe that has the nails, they cannot wear the armory, they cannot wear tefillin. That's the common denominator. Now the Gemara says, Sandalam Sum. What? We'll see why. We'll see why. You know, once you see the reason of the Gemara, you see it's not so much. Sandalam Sumar Maitama. What's the reason why a man cannot wear this sandal that has the nails in it? It's a shoe. Now, just get the at Gemara. Gemara says, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel explains, Shalfei Agezerah Hayu. Shalfei Agezerah means towards the end of one of the decrees of the Romans. The Romans made decrees against the Jewish people, and towards the end of the decrees, when it was getting very severe, the Jewish people had to hide. So where did they hide? Vayu nihba'in b'me'ara. So the Jewish people had to go hide in caves. Ve'amru. And they made a rule, all those people that were hiding. Hanichnas yikanes. Whoever wants to enter the cave can enter. Because entering the cave doesn't jeopardize their safety. Because someone entering the cave can see if any Romans are out there looking, and therefore, you know, if he sees a Roman, he won't walk in the cave and jeopardize it, because the Romans will be after them. So if you want to enter the cave, no problem, because you're not jeopardizing anybody's safety. However, but nobody can leave the cave, because we don't know if maybe there's a Roman outside the cave, and if he sees a Jew walking out of the cave, you're going to give our cover away. Now everybody's going to know that there's Jews hiding in the cave. So that was the pact. What's come in? Come in, because you can protect yourself and ourselves, but you can't leave. Understood? So the Gemara says, "Nehpach sandalo shel echad mehem." What happened is, one of these guys, he was wearing his sandal backwards. The sandal, you could put your foot in both sides. So he had it on backwards, he had it on the other way. Now what happened? He was walking into the cave, but his footprints gave the impression as if somebody walked out of the cave. So the Gemara says, "Kesburi mehem." The guys in the cave thought, Ehad mehem yatsa. They thought one of the guys walked out. Vira'u oibim. And they took the worst scenario. They said he probably got picked up by the enemy. Ve'achshav ba'im alehim. And now they're coming after us. So therefore it says, Dahaku ze baze. So there was a panic, a stampede exactly. So now everybody tried to rush out of the cave. So what happened? So they ended up killing each other. They were more effective even than what the enemies tried to do to us. This is Jews. Now, so what does it got to do with the Sandalam Sumar? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, look at Rashi. Veharagu ze et ze Rashi. Bedihikatan, you know, pushing each other. Shayu sandalehem misumarim. The guys in the cave were wearing these shoes with the nails on the bottom. And therefore, how did they trample each other with the nails in the shoes? So at that point, the rabbis made a gezerah, not because it's carrying. They made a gezerah on Shabbatot. We don't want you to wear sandalim misumar. So the Mefarshim explain what's the reason. So he says the logic is they didn't want you to remember on Shabbat that miserable episode, and therefore it's mishum sa'ad. That's the opinion of the Rishonim, which means you're going to say, oh, every time you see this shoe, you remember the melee that took place in the cave of the Jews. So therefore they said not to wear it. Others explain simply why they made the gezerah, because on Shabbat that's when people gather together, so it's possible to happen again. People congregate in areas together. If they get away with these shoes again, if God forbid there should be a rush to the exits, so God forbid it could happen again. So therefore, it was a safety issue. They didn't want them to wear the sandalim sumar, so they shouldn't stamp each other out. Now, that's one version of the story. The Gemara gives different versions over here. Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Elai Ben Elazar Omer Be'me'ara Yu Yoshvim. He said, no, they were in the cave. And they heard noise on top of the cave, like people walking on top of the cave. So they thought it was the enemies that were on top. And they also trampled each other. So they, according to him, the was not that a guy walked out of the cave or walked into it, it's just that they heard noise on the top. Now some of the Mefarshim learn that a little different than Nashi. They learned that the Romans used to wear sandalam sumar. And that's why they were able to hear on top of the cave when they were walking, you heard the clinking of their sandalam sumar. And therefore, they got nervous and they ran out. The stampede had nothing to do with their sandalam sumar. But since the Romans wore sandalam sumar and the deaths
were caused as a result of their shoes making the noise. So they made a gizra that exactly no Jew should wear sandal and sumar, like for the reasons that I told you. So it's really mahlok how to learn. Was the sandal and sumar involved in the actual killing itself? Did they stampede themselves? Or was it that the Romans wore it and for that they made the takana? Okay? Comes the third opinion. So they were sitting in the synagogue. They heard, you know, voices, tumulting outside the Beit Knesset. Again, they thought the enemies were coming after them. So they stampeded each other. And they killed more from themselves than their enemies. From that time on, you cannot go out on Shabbat with Sadam Sumar. So the Gemara says, so they should forbid it even during the week. So the Gemara says, no. The story took place on Shabbat. So therefore the rabbis made the Gezerah specifically like the episode that it happened. So the Gemara says, oh, so only on Shabbat, be Yom Tov Nishtiri. That on Yom Tov it should be permissible to wear this shoe. Well, Alam Atran, then why did we learn it in Mishnah and Masechet Betzah? Actually, the parentheses are not to be read, but Rashi has the text of the parentheses, so we'll just read it. Mishalchin kedim biyom tov. Halakha says you're allowed to send your friend vessels on Yom Tov, so long as he can use them on Yom Tov. If they have a function for him to use it on Yom Tov, for example, clothes, you want to send them a suit, he can wear it on Yom Tov, you can send it to him. Things that are not functional for Yom Tov, Hakim did not want you to send it to this, your friend. Why? Because it's considered excessive labor. You're laboring on Yom Tov for no purpose. So it says, Mishalchim kedim biyom tov, ben tefurin, ben shenam tefurin. Whether they're sewn or whether they're not sewn. Now what could you do with something that's not sewn? Well, you might not be able to wear it, but maybe you could use it, you could sit on it, exactly. You could use it as a mat. So therefore, no problem. Avalos sandalam sumar. Ah, but you're not allowed to send your friend on Yom Tov the sandal with the nails. Implying what? Because since you can't wear it on Yom Tov, so therefore there's no purpose to send it, and therefore what? Therefore it's considered excessive toiling, therefore don't send it. But what do you see what? That sandal somebody has a suit on Yom Tov? Ve'lo min'al she'eno tafur. Nor can you send a min'al she'eno tafur because a min'al that they didn't stitch it yet, it's not wearable, it's not usable, therefore obviously you cannot send it. But our question is, why if the item happened on Shabbat, and you're telling me for that reason we didn't forbid it during the week, so why did we forbid it during Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, "Beshabbat my tama." Go after the logic, what's the reason why we all sit on Shabbat? The Ika Kenufya, because there's congregation of people. Yom Tov name Ika Kenufya. On Yom Tov it's the same thing, people are not working, and therefore they come together in the Beit Knesset. So therefore the same logic applies. During the week, people go to work. So there really wasn't so much congregation of the people. However, on Yom Tov, the same logic. So the Gemara says, oh yeah, if that's the case, Ta'anit Sibur, Ika Kenufya Litzar. So therefore on public fast days, where the people also congregate, also we should make it Asur. So the Gemara says, no, no, no. Ma'aseh ki yaba b'kenufya de'isura, ha'cha kenufya de'terava. When did the Maaseh happen? On a day of congregation where you're not allowed to work. Shabbat. So therefore, Yom Tov is in the game. It's a congregation day where you're not allowed to work. Tarit Sibur, yeah, they might congregate in the synagogue, but then they go to work. So it's really not similar to the day itself. So the Gemara says now, Hiddush, Va'afilu Rav Hanina ben Akiva. Even according to the opinion of Rav Hanina ben Akiva, that said, the Amar, Lo asru ela biyarden ubisfina uchmaase shaya. The Hanina had an opinion in Masechet Hagiga. Listen to the story. I'll tell you outside what happened. They were transporting the waters of Parah Aduma, and they were transporting it in the Jordan River, in a keli, in a cup. The waters of Parah Aduma. Now you have to be very, very careful that these things do not come in contact with tumah. The highest level of Kedusha, these things, and therefore they're very sensitive to Tumah. So they were transporting on a boat in the Jordan River. It was realized as they were on the boat on the floor of the boat, lodged into one of the planks, was a kezayit of a mit. Kezayit shirut of a dead corpse, which brings tum'ah. So at that point, the rabbis made a gezerah. From now on, you can't transport the waters of the Para Aduma, not in a boat, not in the river. Finish, the rabbis made a gezerah. You can't do it because look at this problem that happened. Rab Harina came along and said, no, no, no. It's only forbidden in the Jordan River, on a boat, like the story had happened, which means he was a stickler when it came to Gezerot. When he made a Gezerot, he only made it in the exact conditions as it was, which means not in the Mediterranean, and if you're swimming with it in the Jordan, also it's okay. It's only forbidden as the case was, the Jordan River on a boat. So maybe you'll say that he'll be a stickler over here also and say, only on Shabbat, exactly the way it was. So he says, no, no. Even Rabbi Hanina that said, Lo asu ela beyarden ubesefina v'chuma aseh shaya, hani mile yarden. That was only said by the Jordan River, Deshani mish'ab neharot. Because the Jordan River is noticeably different than other rivers. Number one, it's very narrow. And number two, it's not as deep as other rivers. So therefore, we're not going to make a gezerah from the Jordan to another river. However, aval Yom Tov is Shabbat ki hadad ininu. But Shabbat and Yom Tov are really, really the same, basically. Besides the law that you can cook on Yom Tov and you can't cook on Shabbat, basically all the halachot, they're the same. So you can confuse Shabbat and Yom Tov. Ditnan. And ben Yom Tov le Shabbat. The only difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov is what? Ela, ochel nefesh b'lad. Is only the laws of cooking, which is permissible on Yom Tov and up as well Shabbat. So therefore, when it came to the Gezerah of the Para Aduma item, he said, you know what? Keep it exactly the way it was. Jordan River. I'm not going to make a Gezerah on the Mediterranean because it happened in the Jordan, because there's really no comparison between the two bodies of water. Therefore, keep it in the Jordan. But this Maaseh with the Sandalam Suman happened on Shabbat. You know, Shabbat and Yom Tov are quite similar. And therefore, I'm gonna agree, extend the Gezerah. I'm not going to be such a stickler and say, oh, only on Shabbat. I'm going to say what? Shabbat and Yom Tov. That's the deen. Sandalam Sumar would be Asur on Shabbat and Yom Tov. But the question is, what's the purpose of these nails? Why were these nails placed in the shoe? So the Gemara says, Amar Yudam al Shmuel, Lo Shanu Ela Lehazek. The only time that this is forbidden is if the purpose of the nails is to strengthen the shoe. Because that's the way they did it on that day. Which is, how do you strengthen the shoe? You want to attach the upper sole to the lower sole. So you have to nail in nails in order to keep the shoe sturdy. Now these nails happen to come out from the bottom of the shoe. However, aval lenoi mutar. If you're doing it for decorative purposes, mutar. Okay, so now we have another hiluk. So the Gemara says, "Vekama lenoi." Well, how many nails is considered decorative? Which means, what, you're going to put now, you know, 100 nails on the bottom of the shoe and say it's decorative? Because there's got to be a certain amount that you can still consider it decorative and not strengthening the shoe. So we have Ma'lokin. Rabbi Yohanan Amar Hamesh Bazeh V'Hamesh Bazeh. Rabbi Yohanan says 5 nails on each shoe. Then Rabbi Hanina Amar Sheva Bazeh V'Sheva Bazeh. He says he gives you 7 nails on each one. Amar Rabbi Yohanan. So Rabbi Yohanan said to the Rabbi Shemam Bar Abba, Aspiralach, I'll explain it to you how these nails are configured. Lididi, explain to me that I said 5 nails. Shtayim Mikan V'Shtayim Mikan V'Had B'Tarsi Yotav. 2 on one side, 2 on the other side, and 1 in the middle on the strap. What does it mean? Take the front of the shoe by the toe. Okay, you put one nail over there, and on the same side, you put one by the heel. On the other side of the shoe, the inside of the shoe. The inside of the shoe is called the inside where the feet, no, where the feet meet, which means that's the inside. The outside is facing the street, and the inside of the shoe is facing the foot. On the inside also, you put one nail at the toe, and one nail at the heel. So that's 4. And then you put one on the actual strap itself that goes, you know, the sandal has a strap above it. So you bang that in the middle on the side, and therefore that gives you 5. The Rabbi Hanina, gimel mikan, the had b'tarsiyotav. According to Rabbi Hanina, gives you 7. 3 on one side, 3 on the other side, and 1 on the strap. Okay, so if you have it configured like that, that's not considered sandal Hamsumar, that's considered decorative. So the Gemara says, Meti, we have a question. Sandala note. Let's say you have a shoe that's note. What is note? That she says the bottom of the shoe, let's say, got worn out a little. I'm going to read it as she. Shatahton shelo eno shave. The bottom of the shoe is not level. She'av mitzadze v'dak mitzadze. It's, let's say, thick in one part and thin in another part, so it's like a wobbly shoe. It's not really, you know, sitting flush on the ground. That's called sandal hanote. So what do you do? It says, ose lo sheva. You can make seven nails, place it in there, I guess to level it out. That's according to Devei Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan says put seven. Now obviously, they're saying that if you're allowed to put the seven, it's still not considered sandal hamsumar. Obviously, you're doing this for decorative purposes, so you let you put seven. V'Rabbi Matir b'Yud Gimal. And Rabbi says you can even put 13. So now we see new opinions now. We see 7 and 13. So the Gemara says, Bishtam al Rav Hanina, according to Rav Hanina that said 7 is okay for decorative, Hu damar ki Rabbi Natan. Yeah, he has an opinion. He's going like Rabbi Natan that says 7. Ela Rabbi Yohanan damar keman. Rabbi Yohanan that said 5, we didn't see a Tanah that says 5. We either see now 7 or 13. Where's Rabbi Yohanan Shita of 5? So the Gemara says, no, we found the Tanah that says 5. Hu damar ki Rabbi Nehorai. Yeah, Rabbi Nehorai says 5. The Tanya, Rabbi Nehorai omer, Hamisha mutar, Vesheva asur. 5 is permissible, 7 is asur. So we technically, at this point, we have 3 shitot, what noy is? 5, 7, or 13? So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Efa. Efa was the name of a rabbi. Le Rabba Bar Bar Hanna. Atum Tamideh Rabbi Yohanan. You guys are the students of Rabbi Yohanan. Abidi Kibir Rabbi Yohanan. You have to follow Rabbi Yohanan. Maximum 5 nails on the shoe if you want to wear it on Shabbat. Anan, Na'abid ki Rabbi Hanina. But we're not students of Rabbi Yohanan, therefore we're going to follow Rabbi Hanina. And Rabbi Hanina says what? You can put 7. Ba'amineh Rav Huna b'Rav Ashe. Rav Huna asked the question to Rav Ashe. Hamesh ma'hu. Question. 5 nails on the shoe. Rabbi, what's the deen? Amar le afilu sheva mutar. He said, what are you asking me 5? You could even put 7. So he says, alright, and he pressed the bet. He said, Teshamai. What if you put 9? Amar le afilu het asur. He said, even 8 is asur. Means he was trying to be very specific. When they said 7, it's 7. It's not that round 7, you know. Even 8 is, even one more than 7 is going to be asur. So bottom line, he's holding like the opinion of what? Of Hanina. That the magic number for nails in a shoe to still be okay is 7.
So we see 13. Who's the
13? We saw Nabi. Nabi said 13. In the Braita above, Nabi Matir B'Yud Gimel.
Oh, I didn't
see that. You see it? So you have now a 5, a 7, and a 13. Ba'a mineh ha'u latz'ana b'Nabi Ami. Okay, there's a certain latz'ana. Latz'ana is the shoemaker. So the shoemaker came to the rabbi and asked him a question. What's the question? He asked him like this. Tafrom b'fnim mahu. What is tafrom b'fnim? You took a piece of leather and you sewed it inside the shoe on the upper sole. So therefore now you really close the sandal. You put a piece of leather, normally a sandal is what? It's a base, it's a sole, just a little piece of leather on top. Here you insert another piece of leather and you sewed it on top, so that it's closed on top. So it really looks like a regular shoe now. So he said, Mao, what's the deen? Which means, if let's say this shoe now has nails in it, is this part of the gezerah? Amar le mutar. He said, no problem. Ve'lo yadana maitama. So give us, but we don't know the reason why should it be mutar. Bottom line, it's a shoe that has nails in it. Amar Rav Ashe, ve'lo yadana mor maitama. He says, what? You don't know the reason? Kevan de tafro mebifnim havi le man'al. Once you add this upper sole to it, it's not a sandal anymore. It turns into a shoe. The sandal gazru b'rabbanan. The min'al lo gazru b'rabbanan. The rabbis made the gezerah by a sandal. They didn't make the gezerah by a shoe. So once you change the configuration of this item by placing that leather on top, it's not a sandal anymore. I don't care if it has nails in it anymore. It's a min'al with nails. The rabbis only gozer a sandal with nails. Yes? Doesn't matter. The rabbis only made the gezerah. What happened? They were wearing sandalim. They weren't wearing a menalim.
But the max you could do is 13, according to the B.
No, on sandals. Correct. On sandals.
Go as much as 13.
That's right. Ba'a mine Rabbi Abba bar Zavdam Rabbi Abba bar Avina. Asa'ok min kalbus. Let's say on a sandal, you place the nails in, but the nails were not regular standard nails. They were like a kalbus. Kalbus is like a staple. You see, I think you saw somebody give it to even give you a picture on the side of what the kalbus looks like. It's a staple. Imagine staple nails. So the Gemara says, Ma'u amale mutar. He said, it's permissible. Again, because the shoes that they were wearing in those days had regular nails. They didn't have staple nails. Itman number, we have a statement to support this. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Harina, Asa'ot kamin kalbus. If you made the nails like kalbus, like staples, mutar. Amar Rav Sheshat. Kipau kulo b'masmerot. Next case. Let's say you covered the whole bottom sole of the shoe with nails. Kedesh shelote karka ochalto. In order that the ground will not decay the wooden sole. That means you're not placing the nails there to strengthen the shoe. You're placing it there just to protect the shoe. Because the soles are made out of wood. If it's going to go on the ground, it might decay. So you just want to like serve like a buffer from the ground to the lower sole. So then when you place the whole thing filled with nails, what's the deen? He said, mutar. Why? Because that was not the way they did it in the old days. The reason why they put the nails in the old days on the shoe is why? Because of the hazek, to strengthen the shoe. It's not strengthening the shoe.
That's what they're putting to strengthen them.
Oh, so they would put anywhere between, again, you can put 5, 7, 11, however many. But obviously, let's analyze. If the Mishnah said noi, you can get away with 5 or 7, it's mashma, that's considered still decorative. Implied they put more. Right. So it comes again, Gemara says, Tanya came attend Rav Sheshat. You have a bride to support Rav Sheshat. That just said that if you fill the whole shoe with nails, but you're doing it to save the bottom of the shoe, it's okay. Because we have a brayta. Lo yitzayish b'sandalam sumar. First halacha, a man cannot go out on Shabbat with a sandalam sumar. That we understand. Velo yitayil mebayit lebayit. He cannot even go from house to house, meaning even in one courtyard, which you're not going out in the public domain. You're just going from house to house in the same courtyard. Asur. Afidu mimita lemita. Even in his own house, from one bed to another bed, meaning the item is mufseh. They don't want you wearing the shoe at all. However, you can use this item to cover a vessel. You want to take the shoe, for example. You need to cover something. So you can use the shoe to cover something, which means even if you want to consider it mukseh and call it a kli shemelachto li'isur, it's a vessel that now becomes isur, but even such a type of mukseh, using it for a permissible function, it's mutar, it's called the tzorek gufo. So I can take the shoe and cover a vessel with it. With a smoke book, or let's say I need to hold up my bed. The legs of the bed is shaky, so you want to stick the shoe underneath it in order to hold up the bed. Mutar. He says, no, it's mukseh totally. You can't wear it, nor can you cover something with it, nor can you fix the bed with it. Nashru rov masmerotav. Let's say the majority of the nails came out before Shabbat. Then ishtayir bo dalet oheh, and let's say just 4 or 5 are left, mutar, no problem. We will see what this means. Then Rabbi matir ad sheva. Rabbi says, you know what, you can even go up until 7. We'll see. Heipahu be'or minemata. Now this case sounds like, let's say you placed another piece of leather on the bottom of the shoe. The bottom of the shoe normally is wood. But heipau be'or milimata. You put a leather sole on the bottom, ve'kabalo masmerot milimala, and then you place nails on top. So now it seems the nails are coming out of the bottom again, maybe. But bottom line, it's not the normal shoe over here now, because the normal shoe was a leather on top with the, let's say, wooden bottom. Here now you put the leather on the bottom and the nails on the top, so it says mutar. Why? Because that's not the regular sandal. Asau kemin kalbus. If you made the nails like a kalbus, like a staple, like we learned, that's okay. Rounded thing. Or kemin tas, or kemin yatid. Tas means instead of the top of the nail being narrow, you made it wide, a wide-headed nail. Or kemin yatid, or a sharp-headed nail. Normally the heads of the nail are flat. You made it like a yatid, like a spike. All these are not the normal nails. Or let's say you place nails throughout the bottom of the shoe, so the ground does not eat it up. Mutar, Beautiful. So we proved that if you place nails on the bottom of the shoe to protect the sole of the shoe, that's not considered sadalim sumar. So now the Gemara says, Haguf Akasha. We have a question on this braita. Amart nashru rov masmerotav. You told me if the majority of the nails fell out, afal gav dinishtairu betuba. Now, if you're telling me the majority of the nails fell out, it's mashma. Even though you have a lot of nails left over, so long as the majority fell out, it's okay. Then you tell me vadar tani arba o hamish. Then you tell me so long as what?
Four or five.
If they're four or five. More than four or five? No. That's a contradiction. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have 15 nails. Okay? So you say the majority falls out. What's the majority? Eight fall out. No, you have 15 nails. Majority of the nails fall out. Eight. How many have left over? Seven. According to that statement, majority falls out. Seven should be okay. Then in the next statement, you tell me four or five. So that's about 4 or 5, yeah? More than that? No. That's a contradiction in the Braita. Because really, you're not going majority anymore. You tell me that the magic number that you can only be left with is either 4 or 5. But you just told me the majority falls out. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shisha, like Kashia, Kan shenigmimu, kan shene'ikru. It depends. What does it mean? Nashi. Shenigmimu. You see, Nashi, what is it? Shenigmimu. Milma'la. Which means, let's say the nails wore out. Nigmimu milma'la. Which means that's about wearing it. The nails sometimes get shaven, and they become
wore down.
V'rishumon nikar betoch ha'etz, but you could still see that what? You could still see the nail there in the wood. You still see a little nail coming out. Afilu tuva. Then already, even if you have a lot of nails left over, de'am min kar she'enu kibriyato, because it's recognizable that the shoe is not in its original way, which means let's say you had 15 nails. Right. The majority of them came off. Okay, 8 came off. Now you have 7. But the 7 that are left over are in there, which means you still see the actual nails themselves that are nigmemu. So then already, if it's if the nails are nigmemu, that is they wore down, then it's clear that the shoe was not in its original state that it was, and therefore it's mutar, as opposed to next rashi, the gamre, I'm sorry, the gamre, she'en nikar shayabo. If let's say all the nails, or the nails actually came out, now if there's no nails in the shoe, and you look at the shoe, you don't really tell if there were nails there from original, from the beginning, then then they only give you a maximum of 4 or 5. So the Gemara wants to make a hiluk on the cases. Nigmimu, if there's nails still in there, they just got worn out, then they'll even let you keep a lot. If the nails actually came out, then they only left you with 4, because now it's like a regular shoe. Now four. Now we go into the rules. A regular shoe, we said, according to some she thought at least,
5, 7, 13.
Right? 5, 7, 13. So this she starts telling you 4 or 5. So the Gemara questions. The Gemara says, 2 more minutes, boys. Hashta, hamesh shari. You tell me if you have 5 left over, it's okay. Arba mibaya? You have to tell me 4? You tell me if there's 4 or 5 left over. If you tell me 5, you can leave. Of course, you can leave 4. Yeah, it depends the size of the shoe now. Now you're learning Hadush. On a big sandal, the magic number is 5. We can still call it Noi. On a small sandal, smaller, you can only get away with 4. The Rabbi Matir Ad Sheva. Rabbi, however, his opinion was he lets you take up to 7. Gemara says that. Tanya, we learned Rabbi Matir Ad Shlosh Esre. Right? We learned by the case of the sandal that was, broken, in order to straighten it out, he let you put 13. So the Gemara says, no, teshani. No, that's different. They were talking about the shoe was broken, so that way you could put more nails, because people are going to know it's not for lahazek the shoe, it's just the balancing. So that way you could put 13. The only time the nails are asud is when you're doing it for to strengthen the shoe. There you're doing it to balance the shoe. So therefore you could put it even 13. So the Gemara says, wait, hashtad datit la'acher. Once already you're telling me balancing the shoe is different. If you remember, we asked a question on Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Yohanan said, how many nails could you put in the shoe? 5. Right? So he asked the question, what do you mean? By the case of balancing, we have two shittot, either 7 or 13. Oh, Rabbi Yohanan, where's your shita? Now that you're telling me that balancing a shoe is different, there was no question on Rabbi Yohanan from the onset. The Gemara says, now that you tell me balancing a shoe is different, then Rabbi Yohanan namer lakasha. What are you asking the question of Rabbi Yohanan? Because you didn't find his shita in the Braita. I'll tell you, noteh shani. Which means, really, Rabbi Yohanan will agree when it comes to balancing the shoe, you could put more than 5. You could put 7, maybe you could put 13. I was talking to Yohanan, I will say what? On a regular shoe. What's the maximum you could put for Noi? 5. So you asked me a question. Oh, but in the case of balancing the shoe, you saw 7 and 13. I'll say, what do you want from me? That balancing the shoe. Balancing the shoe, I'll agree to that. Comes together and concludes. Amar Rav Matna va'amri la Amar Rav Ahdabavi bar Matna Amar Rav Matna. En halakha k'rabi el-azar b'rabi Shimon. Halakha does not follow Rabbi Azar b'rabi Shimon. What did Rabbi el-azar the Rabbi Shimon say? You can't use the shoe for anything. You can't cover a vessel with it. You can't use it to hold up your bed. It's mukseh totally. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Well, you have to tell me that Halakha does not follow him? Of course it doesn't follow him. Yahid ve-rabim, Halakha ke-rabim. The majority opinion is against him, right? The rabbis argued on him. So you have to tell me that Halakha follows him? I would say that what? I might say, you know what, it makes sense what he says. Because he doesn't want you to deal with the shoe in any capacity. You know why? Because you might come to wear it. And therefore, I know the rule, but where it really makes a lot of sense what he's saying, that don't use the shoe for any purpose, lest you might come to wear it. I might say, you know what, take him. Kamash ma'lan, no, even though he has a sound logic reason to it, doesn't matter. Halakha does not follow Rabbi El-Azab, Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rabbi Hiya. Rabbi Hiya said, Ilav dekaruli babla'e share isur. If it wasn't for the fact that they call me the Babylonian that's matir asurim, that, you know, that permits forbidden things, it seems that Rabbi Hiya used to live in Israel. He moved to Babel. And it seems he was lenient. So he nicknamed him. Oh, this is the Babylonian that's matir asurim. He says, if it wasn't for the fact that I got that reputation of the Babylonian that's matir asurim, sharina betuba. He says, you know what? I would let them, for decorative purposes, I'd let them put a lot of nails. I mean, you have 5, 7, 13. He says, it was up to me. Put a lot. So the Gemara says, Vekama. Yeah, how much more would you be matir? So he says, Bepumpedita, I mean, in Pumpedita, the way they explained it was, Eslim v'arba, 24. Besuda, I mean, in Suda, the way they interpreted it was, Eslim v'tarten, 22. Now the Gemara is going to say,
but for Noi.
Fanoi, yeah. He says, Fanoi purposes, I didn't even let you go. According to some versions, 24, and some 22. Now, how are you going to remember, boys, that it was the Pumpedita rabbis that said 24, and it was the Sura rabbis that said 22? So the Gemara is going to give you a way to remember it. We're going to need a way to remember what the Gemara is giving us a way to remember. Amar of Nahman bar Yitzhak, v'simanach. You know what the siman is? Ad de'ata mepumpedita lesura haser tarte. The way that people would travel was, they would travel from, let's say, Pumpedita to Suda. Now, since you're traveling, what happens to the bottom of your shoe during traveling? It wears out. So it says, from the time I went from Pumpedita to Suda, I lost 2. Which is in Pumpedita, they said 24. Suda, they said 22. So that's a way to remember it. And that's the way that the Hayah incidentally came from Eretz Yisrael. He came from Eretz Yisrael through Pumpedita to Suda. So he's like, from the time I came from Israel, I went to Pumpedita, and by the time I got to Suda, 2 more nails were knocked out. So to speak, the Pumpedita said 24, and Suda said 22.